Okay, so from the 22nd chapter of the book of the beginning, it begins in verse 1 by saying, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, I am, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Verse 4 said, Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, to keep that verse in mind now, when he says that I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Verse 9 says, And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And may the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word, that our souls might be encouraged by the word of God. I want to place on these particular verses of scripture for a point of focus for a few moments on this afternoon. I want to use for a subject or a theme or something that you can put your hands around and go back to these verses of scripture and reread them and study them and perhaps be able to see where we are coming from. I want to place on this godly worship. Is it all right? Godly worship. Godly worship is genuine worship. This genuine godly worship is worship that that we can be about. It's biblical worship. Now, a lot of us, when we think of worship, we think that it is something that can only be done
at a church.
But I believe that in these verses, we are allowed to see genuine worship fleshed out in these particular verses. I was reading a billboard this morning as I was coming to my 8 o'clock service. And the billboard, and it's located on 28th Street, or near 28th Street, on Washington Boulevard in Ogden. And if you're ever in there, you might want to check it out. I'm sure it's been there for a while, and it'll probably be there for a while. But the billboard says this: DUI doesn't just mean booze. And I said, DUI, that mean driving under the influence, doesn't just mean booze. I started thinking, and my mind started turning, and I'm saying, well, yeah, there are meds that if you are on them, then perhaps you shouldn't drive, because there are meds that cause you to function in a different way than you would ordinarily function. There are meds that will take your focus off what you should be doing. And so I said, that makes sense. And then this scripture verse, or this particular theme, came to mind, and then I began to say, then worship just don't mean coming to church and raising holy hands. Worship just doesn't mean saying hallelujah. Worship just doesn't mean only praise ye the Lord. And if you would just follow me for a few moments, and again, I won't be that long. So you want to listen attentively, because if you fail to listen right away, it might be too late by the time you begin to listen. And so worship is something that not only we do, but worship is who we are. So in this particular scripture passage that we are coming from tonight, we have what we call in hermeneutics as a hermeneutical principle known as the principle of first mention. Let me say it again. It's the principle of first mention. In other words, the word worship is mentioned here in this 22nd chapter and in the 5th verse. And what hermeneutics says, that when you look at the principle of first mention, whatever that word means when it's first mentioned, it means that way throughout the context of the Bible. Is it all right? So in other words, let me give you an example. For instance, Egypt is first mentioned in the 12th chapter and the 10th verse of Genesis. In that verse, Abraham leaves Canaan during a time of famine and goes down to Egypt. While he is there, he suffers spiritual loss and damage his testimony. Thus, Egypt is presented in a negative light. And as a general rule, that is the way Egypt is received throughout the Bible. Again, the principle of first mention. And so when I talk about godly worship and using this as a principle of first mention, there are some things in these verses that I think will help us out to let us know what godly worship is really about. Now, the first thing that I want to mention is found in verse 3. God's command was hard. It was hard and it was unbelievable. Yet, it was absolutely clear. God said, go worship and sacrifice your son. And he made it clear by saying, not only your son, but your only begotten son, even we know him as little Isaac. And so so genuine worship is submissive. In other words, the scripture text says that Abraham immediately the next morning took a couple of young men, took Isaac, took the wood and the stuff to offer the sacrifice. He didn't go check with Miss Sarah. He didn't go and begin to ponder and say, this doesn't make good sense. I'm not sure about you all, but people out in Oregon sometimes, they want to rationalize with God. They want to say, well, God, now do you really mean what you just said? They like to rationalize with God. And God don't mind you asking them questions, but perhaps he don't want you to insult his integrity. In other words, we ought to be submissive because after all, we're the one that said that God is all powerful and all knowing, that all power is in his hand, that he was in the beginning and there was nothing made that was made without him. And so if he's all of that, if he tells us to do something, we ought to be submissive. And I'm suggesting to you, my brothers and my sisters, that godly worship, true worship, and biblical worship, and genuine worship is to be submissive. Abraham took his son, his only son, Isaac, took a couple of men, took the stuff, going out, even knowing where he was going, because the scripture says that I will share you when I get ready to tell you where you ought to go. You ought to go with your son, Isaac. And Abraham did exactly what God said. So the question I got for us today, are we really submissive to God? Or do we come up with stuff like, well, God, this is 2018. We don't have to really go to prayer meeting like we used. We don't have to go to Sunday night service. I'm talking about this 2000. Ain't nobody doing it. Why are we doing stuff like this? I'm talking about, don't you know that times have changed? But the word of God is the same. Hebrews say he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. In fact, Matthew said before any part of his word changes, there will be no earth to stand on, nor in heaven to gaze into. So when God speaks, we ought to listen more so than we would if E.F. Hutton was speaking. We ought to be submissive because that's what genuine worship is all about. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. My brothers and my sisters, a true heart for God is marked by obedience. Nothing says that we are heels and that we love him more so than by doing what he tells us to do. Now, see, we have a problem with our video matching our audio. Let me say it a different way. We say one thing and we do another thing. But if we really want to worship God and we are told to worship him, we need to be submissive and do whatever it is that he and by the way, he's not going to tell you to do anything that's outside of his word. After all, in fact, he is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. And then drops on down and said, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, came to his own and his own received him not. But to many of those of us who received him, to us he gave the power to become the sons and daughters of God. Genuine worship, godly worship, biblical worship is submissive. Well, that was verse number three. Verse number two suggests to us that genuine worship is also steadfast. What I mean by that is, when things are going well in our lives, we don't have no major problem with worshiping God. When you wake up in the morning and everything goes just the way you want it, or you got the right job, you got the right home, got the right car, your kids obeying and doing the right thing, you have no problem worshiping God. God has been good to Abraham. He's been good to Miss Sarah. In fact, Abraham's 100 years old and here pops up Isaac. He's been good to him. But now it is the midnight of Abraham's life. When I say midnight, I'm talking about like in Acts 16 at midnight. I'm talking about the darkest hour. I mean, when God, you know, prayed for his son for a number of years, then God finally gave him his son. And now God's saying to him, take your son, Isaac, not Ishmael, take Isaac and offer him up for a sacrifice. I'm talking about he just come off the mountaintop high. Because God been so good. And now God turns around and say, offer your son, the one that you love, to me. So God, all you really want to know was, do you really love me like you say, Abraham? Because a lot of us be saying we love the Lord. And every once in a while, God gives us an opportunity to prove that if we really love him, or we just kind of talking loud and saying nothing. Genuine worship is steadfast. It's consistent. It's continuing. When I can't see my way, I know he sit high and he looks low. When people are abusing and misusing and throwing my name out on the highways and the airways of life, I know God is still a good God and been better to me than I could have been to myself. But my brother and my sister, we are kind of wishy-washy. We kind of love God when things are going the way we think they ought to go. But when they're not going the way we think, then we begin to doubt. Is God really who all we say he is? And he done brought you every step of the way where you at, the job that you got, he gave it, car that you drive. He gave it to you. What you know, he taught you. Where you come from, he brought you. And yet we act as though maybe God has lost some of his power. One of the reasons why the world really don't care too much about the church or respect the church anymore. I remember a time when people was drinking, coming out of the club, cussing and stuff. When they get to the property ground of the church, they would cease. Till they get up around the property, then they would start back up doing what they wanted to do. But there was a respect for the church. But people look at us, Universal, not you at Eastside, Universal, and begin to say, all they're doing is putting on a show. They don't even believe in God themselves. So why should we? So my brothers and my sisters, genuine godly worship is not only submissive, but it's also steadfast. It's consistent. When I got everything going my way, I'm praising his name. And when things are not, I'm still going to praise his name, because some say he's worthy of all the praise that we can muster up and even more. And so genuine godly worship is submissive, genuine godly worship, and verse 2 is steadfast. And then in verse 5, genuine godly worship is a time sometime to be separated. So when Abraham and the lad got to about 3 days in the journey, they come to the conclusion, or Abraham said to the young men that was with him, y'all stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I gonna go up and worship God. Now, God had told him to go and sacrifice his son. But guess what he said, though? We're going to go up. But guess what we're going to do? He didn't say, I'm coming back. He said, he didn't even understand what he was saying because he knew he took all the tools that he needed to do what God wanted to do. But he said, we come back. My brothers, my sisters, sometimes we have to separate ourselves from other things, even sometimes other people that will cause us not to be able to worship God. See, people out there saying, you don't take all that. You don't have to be a fanatic for God. But if it take you being a fanatic for God to worship him and give God all that you got because God gave you all that he had, certainly it is worth us being a fanatic for God. But some people have you think that you're crazy. And you need to let those people separate yourselves from them so you can give God the worship and the praise that he so rightly deserves. Worldly concerns contaminate our public worship. Church is not the place to catch up on gossip. Do your fingernails. Figure your checkbook out. Show off your clothes. Fix your hair. Talk to your neighbor. Look for fault. Cause trouble. When we enter this place, we should come for the sole purpose of worship. And if you don't want to worship him, the song said, don't hinder me. Because I come to praise his holy and righteous name. So my brother, my sister, genuine godly worship is submissive. Genuine and godly worship is steadfast. Genuine and godly worship is separate. But then my brother, my sister, in verse 5 through 10, in that same said scripture text, it tells us, as we flesh out these verses about worship, the principle of first mention, it tells us that genuine worship is sacrificial. This worship was going to cost Abraham dearly. He was called to give up the son of promise, even Isaac. Notice how God makes the demand. And how Abraham responds. He never wavers. He's gathered what he needs and he goes to do what the Lord had asked him. He's willing to sacrifice everything he has and everything he has been promised at the command of God. He holds nothing back. I'm talking about godly worship. And that's what our world needs today. They need to be able to see godly worship in motion. They need to be able to see godly worship, not only by coming to Eastside, but they need to see it at Walmart when we go and shopping. They need to be able to see it at the restaurant down the street when we go there and eat. They need to be able to see it when we drive down the road and somebody cut us off. They ought to be able to see godly worship because they ought to hear us saying, bless you, my brother, bless you, my sister. Genuine worship is sacrifice. Did I tell you that God so loved us that he gave his only son? Did I tell you that Jesus didn't do nothing wrong? Did everything right? Crossed every T, dotted every I, tried to help anybody and everybody that he could, and yet they talked about him, they called him names and did all kind of stuff, and then some Roman soldiers said, crucify him. They took him to a place called Golgotha, where they stretched him wide and hung him high. They pierced his hands to a rugged cross. They nailed his feet. They placed a crown of thorns around his brow, and the blood and the sweat came out, and the songwriter sung. He didn't say a mumbling word for himself, for he realized he came to save that which was lost. He didn't come for those of you who got it going on. But he came for those who needed somebody. Those who have fallen short and they're tired of the muck and the miry clay. Those who have fallen short and they keep falling short over and over and they keep going to God, asking to have mercy and forgive them for their sins. Sacrifice. It costs us something to worship God. We just can't come empty-handed with nothing. It costs God his son. It costs God's son his life. But lest you think the story's over, it didn't stop there. Oh yeah, it looked dim on Friday evening. In fact, it looked so dim that the disciples decided to go back to their former occupations. Go back to being fishermen and tent makers and all of this type thing. And they buried him. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. Well, that's the first thing that went wrong. They should have never buried him in a borrowed tomb. Well, Jesus never borrowed anything from anybody that he doesn't return. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed in the tomb all night Friday. All day Saturday. And all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, the first day of the week, early while the dew was still on the roses, early while the bacon and the eggs were getting prepared to be fixed, early in the morning he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And because he lived, I can worship him. Because he lived, I can be submissive. Because he lived, I can be steadfast, unmovable, always abound. Because he lived. For those who want to pull me down, I can say, you need to stay, get ye behind me. I got a God to glorify. I got a God to serve. And because he lived, he did all that for me. The very least I can do, according to Romans chapter 12, offer myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is only my reasonable. My reasonable job. My brothers and my sisters, godly worship is more than just coming to church. It's giving God what he rightly deserves everywhere and all the time. And Abraham says, be submissive. Abraham said, be steadfast. Abraham said, be separate. And Abraham says, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to sacrifice. The old songwriter says, must Jesus bear the cross along and the whole world go free? Then I heard another verse say, oh no. There's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you. And there's a cross for me. I hear somebody else says, no cross, you can't get no crown. So my brothers and my sisters, let us start giving godly worship. Not to put on a show, but to be who you are. So that those who in darkness might come to the marvelous light. They might be able, not be able to see you, but see Jesus in you. And as a result, ask the question, what must they do to be saved? And God sent his son to save all of them. The whosoever wills would come. So God bless you. God keep you, Brother Paul. It certainly is a privilege for me to be here tonight with you and the Eastside congregation. And again, we didn't bring our long sermon, but we just want you to know that if we're about godly worship, that's where the rubble meets. Did I tell you that Abraham took little Ike back home to Miss Sarah? and that he didn't tell Miss Sarah before he left where he and Ike was going? Did I tell you that it was good for him when he got back home? Because he'd have told Miss Sarah before, he never been able to take little Isaac with him. She would have told him, go find Hagar and go find Ishmael and take Ishmael up there to offer him. So God bless you and God keep you. And certainly is our prayer that you might have a wonderful night. Amen. Amen.